You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Want to give a quick acknowledgement to Roseanne in Florida, a first-time donor to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. She made her first contribution to this show during the first hour, and we want to acknowledge that and welcome her to the family. Well, perhaps she's been listening to this show for years. A lot of people have. Maybe it's her first time. We don't know. Let us know, Roseanne. She contacted me via Twitter. We're reaching a new audience on Twitter. We've only been there a few weeks, two or three weeks, but it's gotten off to a good start. I know some people there have been on there for many years and have a few thousand followers. We've been on there just a couple of weeks and are almost up to our first 1,000 followers. So that's very good. Knowing that our audience here on AM Talk Radio is not the same as the Twitter audience, and many people who listen to this show, obviously, in fact, the majority of them probably are not on Twitter. None of the Political Cesspool staff, save Scoop and Jim Lancia, were on Twitter. So 20% of the Cesspool staff itself were on Twitter prior to a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago. Now 30% of us are on Twitter. So anyway, because I joined, at James Edwards TPC. But thank you, Roseanne, for your contribution, and thank you for being part of our audience. I mentioned in the last hour that we were attacked by the Washington Post. It was a pretty bizarre attack in that the article, I couldn't read it all. I never read it all. I never know when we're in the news. People tell me. Jared Taylor was the one who actually informed me that Hillary Clinton had called me out in that statement on her website. And someone else, a listener in our audience, said, hey, check the Washington Post. You're in there again. And it was an article that suggested that Donald Trump speaks like a racist because of Ron Paul. And I only did a control F search for the word Edwards, trying to find what they said about us. And so I didn't read the whole thing, but basically it said Trump was an extension of Ron Paul's previous campaigns, and he's a racist because Ron Paul was a racist, and James Edwards had scheduled Ron Paul to be on the show. Ron Paul had to cancel at the last minute, but Trump gave press credentials. See, there's the connection. So Trump's a racist because Ron Paul's a racist, according to the Washington Post. James,
and Ron Paul's a racist because he once thought about being on our show.
I think Eddie, you were the one. And he's kind of from the South being, well, no. He is from the South being in Texas. We'll give Texas a break because it's the only southern state that went for Cruz. But, yeah, so Eddie was the one. Oh, but he may not be from Texas. We'll have to Google that.
He was elected from Texas.
If it's on Google, if it's on Wikipedia, it has to be true. He canceled out 30 minutes before the show. Yes, that was back in 2006. But I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Washington Post in an article that was printed yesterday. They are talking about things that happened on this show 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Ron Paul canceled out 30 minutes before he was scheduled to appear. He said he would reschedule. That didn't happen. You can fill in the blanks as to why. But that was 10 years ago, and it's current news of the Washington Post. And the connection is,
can you imagine the fine-tooth comb they're going through our archives with, apparently?
This is, I mean, folks, what do you even say about that? How can I even talk about this? Donald Trump's a racist because Ron Paul was a racist who almost appeared on our show. And because of that, Donald Trump gave us credentials to appear in his press pen at a rally in Memphis and then at the Republican. That's the Washington Post. That is the Washington Post. That's the most prominent newspaper in the world. That's where we're at when it comes to the media. And that's why we need your support, folks. We're against these, we're going up against these degenerates and these liars. And based upon $25 contributions, which, believe me, we appreciate. And I'm not making light of that. I am, God knows I'm thankful for that.
We're apparently controlling the world out of this little studio.
Ron Paul was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so he is not a Southerner as we...
But he was elected from Texas.
He was elected from Texas. That is obviously true. But I'm just saying, based upon the donations of people who give $25, $100, this is where we're at. All right, so we've made all the difference, and because you've made all the difference in us. Without those contributions, folks, we don't survive. And we are in the midst of our third quarter fundraising drive, and we need your support. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. You can donate safely, securely, and discreetly, and we encourage you to do so tonight. Bottom line is Hillary's alt-right speech did not work. If her goal in Reno was a kill shot intended to brand Trump as a racist through guilt by association with the alt-right, specifically those she mentioned in her release, her statement, David Duke, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, Ann Coulter, and James Edwards, it didn't work.
What it did was give the alt-right a prominence it's never had before.
Well, Donald Trump, since her alt-right speech, which was a week and a half ago, since that night, Donald Trump has basically pulled even in every poll. There are a couple of polls he's behind her within the margin of error, a couple of polls he's ahead of her within the margin of error. But at the time she gave that alt-right speech, he was down about 4 or 5 points in most polls. Since that alt-right speech, he has pulled even based upon...
Well, I can tell you what's happened, James. People actually started visiting these so-called alt-right sites and started considering the message.
I think Hillary...
Said, this is great.
Hillary Clinton...
I have another reason to be against Hillary now.
Hillary Clinton was one of the ones visiting our site, or at least our Twitter page. Because, I mean, folks, Hillary Clinton... denounced us. It's one thing when you get denounced by some cuck in the press. We're talking about the Democratic nominee calling us out by name. You never call out your enemy by name. That only gives them legitimacy and credibility.
I've got it. I've figured it out. We are the vast right-wing conspiracy she has hinted about for years that is trying to undermine her political career. She must have come to the conclusion that that's us, James.
Hillary Clinton singling us out, when you compare the budget of the Clinton machine versus that of the political cesspool, and she's concerned about what we're saying to an extent, and we covered this in the first hour, and we're not going to dwell on it, but she's concerned enough about this program that she uses us in a release, in a statement to her supporters in order to galvanize their support, saying, did you know that the political cesspool supports Donald Trump? If you didn't know that, check out who they are. They list their location as the Confederate States of America. And if that doesn't motivate you to vote for me, I don't know what will. That's basically what that statement said.
What it did, it motivated people to vote for Trump. That's why he's closed the gap.
I mean, look, we're just here having a good time. Keith, this is the first night. You're so animated tonight. This is the first night in your broadcasting career, which now spans more than a decade, that our producer has said you're too loud.
Well, but there is one consistency. The producer is unsatisfied with the way I'm coming across. He usually says I'm too quiet, now I'm too loud.
Well, one thing's for sure, you're never good enough. But we do have a producer who is excellence personified. So it takes a lot to reach those standards.
He insists on perfection. He's a perfectionist.
All right, we got to go. When we come, well, not for the night, just for a segment. We'll be back. We're not even half done tonight, if you can believe it, ladies and gentlemen. What is the alt-right? We're going to continue to revisit that question. Jared Taylor provides an answer.
What is the alt-light?
Well, we'll see if we can get into that.
About that
stay
too.
Tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. By the way, I should mention, I think we alluded to it earlier, hugs all around in the studio tonight. You know, we're a loving bunch here in the political cesspool. And this is the truth. I'm not trying to be glib. What motivates us to take action to suffer the arrows of the entire global media.
The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as Shakespeare said.
Of the media, and of Hillary Clinton, and everyone else who hates us, is love. This is a program that is motivated by love, a love of our people, a love of our culture, a love of our faith, Christianity, and a love of one another, our audience, and each other here in the studio. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has been on sabbatical for a few weeks, but he is back tonight. He'll be on with us during the third hour, but he's in the studio right now. He's here at the station, and he's hugging on me and Keith during the commercial breaks. We give manly hugs here in the political cesspool. And we're all brothers, and we're comrades in arms. And when you suffer the effects of not being on the front lines, living a life on the front lines, as we have done in the past 12 years, you bond something that's stronger than steel cables, and so you greet one another with a hug.
We have risked our lives together.
And we've risked something very significant together, and we continue to do so. Now that we've been singled out by Hillary Clinton, I want to go on the record by saying I am not going to shoot myself 3 times in the back of the head anytime soon.
Amen.
So let's just keep that under advisement. But all of this is prompted by Hillary's speech on the alt-right. Jared Taylor, our good friend and frequent guest, he was on just 2 weeks ago, editor of American Renaissance, responded to Hillary Clinton's attack on the alt-right. He describes the political contours of the movement as well as its major players. In the clip that we're about to play for you, Jared notes that while members of the alt-right may be sympathetic to Donald Trump and Breitbart.com because of their strong positions on immigration, neither of them has spoken up explicitly for white interests. As a result, neither Donald Trump or Breitbart should be considered properly alt-right.
That's the category they call the alt-light. Breitbart is part of the alt-light, not the alt-right.
And this is the thing. You have to be explicitly pro-white. Donald Trump's immigration speech was 10 out of 10. In it, though, he did not hesitate to mention how he, as president, would benefit Hispanics, how he, as president, would benefit African Americans, but he dare not mention how he would benefit European Americans, and he needs to explicitly do that. If he can do it to the others, he can do it for our people,
because
too.
Because that's where his voter base lies. That's the long and the short of it, James.
But what Jared's suggesting is that neither Donald Trump nor Breitbart should be considered alt-right, because the Rubicon is being explicitly pro-white. Let's listen to Jared now. Let's play that clip.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. What's the alt-right or alternative right? Millions of people heard the term for the first time when Hillary Clinton mentioned it in a campaign ad last week.
A campaign chair that ran a website that has become a field day for the alt-right, which is racist and all sorts of other ists.
The alt-right, which is a sort of dressed up in suits version of the neo-Nazi and white supremacist movements.
She said it's full of terrible people, and she tried to connect it to Donald Trump. So the mainstream media are now full of stories explaining the alt-right. Even a Japanese newspaper interviewed me the other day about the Aruto-Raito. As a long-standing member of the alt-right, this is how I see it. We are a broad dissident movement that includes many different websites, organizations, and viewpoints. Some members hold distinctive positions on sex roles, trade and free markets, forms of government, and foreign policy. But they all agree on one thing. Equality is a dangerous myth. The alt-right is united in rejecting the current dogma that all races are equal. Races are different. They differ in average levels of intelligence. They do not build identical societies. And there is no reason to think non-whites can maintain Western civilization, the civilization that whites created. And most people prefer the culture created by their own race and prefer to be around people like themselves. Blacks, Hispanics, and Asians express this preference all the time, and everyone thinks it's fine. It's only whites who are thought to be immoral if they openly prefer the culture, society, and people of Europe. Now, if you're shocked by what I've said so far, you're not part of the alt-right. Not yet. But just wait. We're growing all the time. The alt-right is eager to have the honest dialogue on race that former Attorney General Eric Holder and others claim to want. Well, they're not sincere. They want to exclude everyone who disagrees with them. Honest dialogue is meaningless if everyone already agrees. Let me give you a little alt-right history. The term was first used in 2008. And came out of the political discussion group, the H.L. Mencken Club. And the people who first popularized the expression were Richard Spencer and Paul Gottfried. In the last 8 years, the alt-right has expanded enormously. It's now closely associated with websites such as V-Dare, Taki's Magazine, my own American Renaissance, and many bold new sites such as Radix Journal, Social Matter, The Right Stuff, Red Ice Radio, The Political Cesspool, and The Alternative Right. Many of the most creative and dynamic members are the alt-right Twitter army, always ready with clever memes and smackdowns against liberal journalists. Most of the people in the alt-right, especially the younger ones, have to hide their identities because of our oppressive political atmosphere. Only a tiny fraction of the alt-right can afford to be open about their views, because if you dissent publicly, you can be fired from your job, kicked out of school. It's like the dissident movement in the old Soviet Union, despite the fact that we claim to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Hillary Clinton and the press have tried to tie the alt-right to Alex Jones and to various people associated with Breitbart.com, and to Donald Trump himself. This is dishonest. None of these people has ever taken up the cause of white identity or talked openly about race and IQ. We may be sympathetic to people such as Steve Bannon of Breitbart and Donald Trump because of their views on immigration, but they have never spoken up for explicitly white interests.
I'll swing by your house, okay?
If you want to learn more about the alt-right, the biological reality of race, or the importance of white racial consciousness, please visit our website, American Renaissance, at www.amran.com or any of the other sites that I've mentioned. It could be your first step into a world where things finally make sense, where there are real solutions to problems liberal orthodoxy can't even understand, much less solve. Join us in the struggle for a better, brighter future for our country and for our people.
Okay, well, that was Jared Taylor. I like it when Jared does these videos. You know, Jared is one of our most frequent guests. I think now he rivals Ted Pike, who is retired and hasn't been on in a while. I think Jared now rivals Ted, though, as the person with the single most appearances on the political cesspool. But that was a very good introduction to the alt-right from Jared Taylor and American Renaissance.
And Jared also really gets under the skin of the leftist critics of our show and of our movement, because he is obviously such an educated, refined gentleman. They hate that about us.
I want to say this very quickly. Acknowledgements to Ken, who has contacted me on Twitter during that segment with Jared, or during that clip of Jared, to Crafty Worker on Twitter, who is a regular listener. He sent me a pretty entertaining image. And to Chris, the Welsh Patriot on Twitter, who sent me a nice graphic of a Confederate flag in his home. We'll be back with more. That's what Jared Taylor thought of the alt-right. What did Glenn Beck think about it? We're going to play his clip describing the alt-right next.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump continues to mystify both his supporters and detractors. His visit to Mexico resulted in an apparently amicable joint press conference with President Enrique Peña Nieto, during which Trump appeared diplomatic and conciliatory as he referred to shared problems, including illegal immigration. A few hours later, Mr. Trump delivered a speech in Arizona in which he reiterated the hardline positions on immigration and border security that he had appeared to modify in previous days. Jacob Monti, a Republican immigration attorney who had been an advisor to the Trump campaign, resigned on September 1st, citing his confusion over what the campaign is actually designed to accomplish. "He listens to whoever talks to him last," Monti said in an interview with left-leaning MSNBC News. A week and a half ago, Hispanic leaders were talking to him, he listened to us, and, by the way, his polls went up after that. "The other possibility is maybe he does not want to win," continued Monti. "Maybe this is a media play, where he wants to create a media empire which will focus on the millions of people that believe the country needs to control immigration. If that's his play, it will be good, and he'll have millions of followers, but he won't win the presidency." If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
If you want to be like Hillary Clinton in a good way, in the only way that is good, follow us on Twitter. We know that she was because she captured
one good habit she has.
You can follow me on Twitter, but please never be like Hillary. At James Edwards TPC. James Edwards TPC. And again, we've only been on there 3 weeks, and already the Clinton campaign is capturing our screenshots as a way to motivate their base. I want to say a very heartfelt thank you to Richard and to Hillary for doing that, but especially to Richard in Nashville for making a very generous contribution to the political cesspool here in the last few minutes. He and his wife are incredible people. Out of all of our audience, I would put them at the very top upper echelon of the people that I would say, that I could point to that say, we're here because of them. And there are a few that I would put in that category. They are certainly among them. So to Richard and his beautiful wife, thank you. And these are people.
Bette Midler would say you're the wind beneath our wings.
And of course, these two fine people also have been with us for a very long time. And they were at our 10-year anniversary celebration a couple of years ago here in Memphis. And they are just everything that we aspire this show to represent, they embody that. So, Richard, thank you for your contribution, sir, and for your friendship on top of that. And if you want to be like Richard, if you want to be like Roseanne, who made her first contribution ever to this show, Richard's been contributing every quarter for years. Roseanne, for her first time, not Roseanne Barr, but the good Roseanne in Florida making her first contribution to the show tonight.
Good Roseanne versus bad Roseanne.
Right? ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Click on the donate link, and we've got some good incentives for you. But anyway, last segment we were talking about Jared Taylor and his interpretation and definition of the alt-right. Glenn Beck defined the alt-right in his own words this week. Let's hear what he had to say.
When people think that of Glenn Beck, well, yeah, he's always talking about Nazis. Yes, because when I was on Fox News, most of the times I talked about the Nazis, I was a warning about the rise of not then called the alt-right, but of the extreme European right. And here we are. It's happening.
You see it happening today. You describe the alt-right in what way? How would you define this concept today?
I would describe it in the terms that they don't like to use, and they are redefining: racist, Klan members, Nazis, neo-Nazis, anarchists, national socialists, national populists. They are no friend of anybody who believes in the Constitution, left or right.
Do you think media outlets, conservative media outlets, others are doing a good enough job refuting this BS that some of these alt-right websites propagate?
No, I don't think anybody on the right or the left is. Yeah. We're trying to. I have a major, right now I'm putting together a four-day special for television. I'm creating several serials for radio on it. We're even considering another book. The next book that comes out may be on the alt-right.
Oh.
This is the warning, and I believe one of the last warnings of the Republic. What's going to happen after this election, nobody is prepared for. And that's what we should be talking about.
All right, so that was Glenn Beck. That was Glenn Beck, the supposed conservative. He said absolutely everything you would expect the establishment mouthpieces for the regime to say. He said that anyone in the alt-right is a Nazi, a neo-Nazi, a Klansman, or a populist. So he equated populism with Nazism.
And socialism. He said national socialist and national populist.
He said, we hate the Constitution. I love the Constitution. I wish it was enforced from time to time. But I mean, this is Glenn Beck, and in his own words, people don't know this. In his own words, Glenn Beck said, I could give a flip about politics. I'm an entertainer. Well, yes, you are, Glenn. You're a clown.
Well, let me tell you what Glenn Beck shows. First of all, his approach to governing is what Sam Francis famously described as he described the conservative mainstream or neoconservative movement as beautiful losers, people that were willing to lose as long as they played by the rules and they were busily patting themselves on the back and congratulating each other about how feckless they are. Quite frankly, we want to win. We have to win. The future of the United States of America and Western civilization hangs in the balance. Now, another very important distinction between Glenn Beck and ourselves and people like Glenn Beck versus people like us is the reaction to the civil rights movement. If you find a conservative that says, you know, liberalism started out just fine. You know, the civil rights movement was so righteous and holy and just and necessary. And then somehow these beautiful people, these wonderful childlike creatures, went astray and started getting into things like homosexual marriage and radical feminism and global warming and stuff like this. They're showing you that they don't have what it takes to win the battle.
I have to say this. When the Tea Party was in the midst of being co-opted, Glenn Beck had this huge rally in Washington. Yeah. And he made a point. It was an all-white audience. And he made a point of saying, this is the step upon which Martin Luther King once stood. I am standing one step below that because I'm not dignified enough to stand where the great – well, he didn't fill in the blanks, but where the great plagiarist, adulterer –
well, he was on his knees before Martin Luther King, and I'll let your imagination run wild as to what he would have been doing. But basically, Glenn Beck is a cuck-servative's cuck-servative. He is the type of person –
when you look up cuck-servative in the Urban Dictionary, it is illustrated with a picture of Glenn Beck's crying face.
Yeah. He is the most pathetic example of a phony shill disguising himself as a conservative that I would ever want to find. He is as bogus as a $3 bill because he does not understand that the civil rights movement was just the first of many radical egalitarian movements, each increasingly more counterintuitive. It started out, blacks are the same as or just as good as white people. That's the so-called civil rights movement. It really ought to be called the black rights movement. Then you had the criminal rights movement under the Warren Court. Criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. Then you had the feminist movement. Women are the same as or just as good as men. Then you had the homosexual rights movement. Homosexuals are the same as or just as good as heterosexuals. And see, you know, it just gets even more absurd the further and further you go into their cesspool of what's, you know, what of this equality, this specious equality that everyone knows doesn't exist. These people, these groups they're trying to equate are not equal. And if you don't have a hierarchy of values and standards and you fall for this, then you'll fall for anything. And it is the pathway, it's the primrose path to perdition, folks. That's the best way I can describe it.
We have a caller that we're going to get to. If he would be patient enough to remain on the line with us, it's always difficult to work in callers, but we love doing it when the occasion permits. Jay is on the line. If Jay can get with us, or rather stay on the line, we'll get to him at the top of the next segment. So, Jay, please be patient. Glenn Beck said he's going to write a book about the alt-right now. And the one thing that separates Glenn Beck from us, well, there's two things. Number one, we tell the truth. He doesn't. Number two, he gets paid millions of dollars, and we do this for free. And it's like Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a little bit better than Glenn Beck, but on one of Alex Jones's recent programs, he demanded that the races must unite to fight the aliens that stole our nutritional supplements. See, this is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. There's a little bit of good in
it's a decon analogy. You know, decon is 0.1% poison. The rest of it is wholesome, but that little bit of poison will get you every time. And see, this is what we have to worry about. If you don't understand that the civil rights movement was basically the camel's nose in the tent for the left. As long as you allow them to have a safe harbor in the civil rights movement, you'll never defeat liberalism. What they do, look at what Hollywood does whenever the latest liberal initiative like global warming or homosexual marriage runs into tough seas or tough sailing. What does Hollywood do? They concoct yet another movie about the blessed civil rights movement so that people will be very clear as to who the good guys were and who the bad guys are. The bad guys are conservatives. The good guys are the liberals.
We got to take a break. Jay, our caller, up next. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, gang. Let's go now to our caller who's been waiting patiently. He is Jay, who is a co-host with Jim Lancia, who, of course, is our criminal justice reporter on the Political Cesspool. Jim Lancia, of course, the former police officer in Connecticut who wrote the book that we're always talking about when he appears. And so it's great to have Jay. You can find that YouTube show, youtube.com. It's Cop Shootout with Jim Lancia and now Jay, who is calling in tonight. Jay, an honor to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, and thanks for taking my call. I got to tell you, calling in, using his name kind of makes me feel like I'm, like, driving around in the Chief's car, and, like, people think I'm the Chief, so I'm getting away with stuff. I know time is short, so I'll get straight to the point. What I was calling in about is, I'm a keen studier of history, and I've learned anytime you're involved in a project or something going on and you get confused, don't understand what's going on, find the oldest people you possibly can involved in that project and ask them, and you will find the wisdom you need. And when I look at this to study the history of it, I was reading something by Marilyn R. Allen, and that book sounds like a Trump speech, and it made me realize, it was printed in 1948, that this is repeating. It seems like every generation has an opportunity to take advantage of the energies that have, you know, to try to stop this mess that's going on. And this, what's going on right now looks like ours. And with what Glenn Beck said, he kind of offered a dime of the truth when he said, you know, we need to think about after the election. And what I mean by that is not to say anything bad about anybody, but we also need to have a second long-term plan. I mean, what if Hillary gets in? What if Trump does turn out to not be who we think he is? I don't think he is. He seems legit to me. But let's just say, and that helps people move forward. Because in the end, everybody gets hung up on these numbers, and the numbers do not matter. The odds are not just the numbers. I have contempt for the idea of the numbers. By themselves, they are meaningless and unimportant. The character of the people fighting with you and the character and morale of your enemy is what matters. Nathan Bedford Forrest said, when you meet the enemy, no matter how few there are, you must attack. You must bring fight to them. Whenever possible, we must attack, and despite the disparity in numbers, we must rise, and it'll bring morale to our forces. The reason why everyone's coming, everyone likes us, is because we're moving forward. We're on the attack, and our enemy is divided. In a criminal sense, this is kind of like what happened in the 1920s whenever one mob boss would get arrested or something would happen, and then all of a sudden there would be this power vacuum, and then all the underlings would be running around doing strange stuff. You look at the strange deaths that have happened with the DNC leaker of information and that guy that was trying to sneak into the Julian Assange, where he's hiding out in that embassy over there to supposedly kill him, and then the weird guys that have showed up to kill Trump, and then they just kind of disappeared from the media. No one's talking about it. And what it looks like to me, it's kind of like different criminal organizations attached to these groups that basically make up this, you know, deception and white genocide we're suffering. There's a power vacuum. Something's going on, and those guys aren't being looked after, and they're all going off on their own agendas. Just like you said, you're getting on and talking about the alt-right on TV and having those congressmen mention white genocide out loud is just the stupidest thing imaginable, and it's helping us building our numbers. And to me, we should be thinking about the long term. You know, if those things don't happen, you got to look at the secessionist parties. The ones in Texas is very serious. The ones in South Carolina have recently caused the ousting of several of the congressmen that voted to take down the Confederate flag in South Carolina. They're gone now, and they said they were going to do this, and they carried it out. And I just want to compliment John. Moving forward is the way to do, because it brings morale. It's so important. And our enemy is divided, and they can be conquered now if we take advantage of it the right way.
Jay, there's no doubt why Jim Lancia has you on the Cop Shootout show on YouTube.com. That was an absolutely incredible commentary. It was a tour de force. Yes, Keith. One of the best callers I can remember in a long, long time. I really enjoyed listening to that. And, of course, you tickled our fancy when you mentioned Nathan Bedford Forrest, who also said, get there first with the most men and charge them in both directions. That was our kind of guy. If there's one guy that I think could relate most
to the zeitgeist of this show, it would be Nathan Bedford Forrest.
There you go. I think he most embodies the temperament and personalities of our audience. And, of course, the book by Jim Lancia is Downtown White Police, available at Amazon.com. We have Jay, his co-host, on the Cop Shootout Show on YouTube. But, yes, go, Keith, respond to Jay.
Okay, I like what you said at the very beginning, Jay, about go back to people that actually lived in the era. I lived in the era of the Civil Rights Movement. And I can tell you that the reason the lies are unchallenged is because you had a very limited media back then. You just had ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS, and they were all in the tank for leftist change. For example, did you ever consider it unusual during the Civil Rights Movement when you saw all of this black and white grainy film, you know, of police with fire hoses and police dogs? How uniformly similar all of the black protesters looked. They would be wearing white shirts. They would be slim. The men would be wearing horn-rimmed glasses more often than not. They'd be wearing a little skinny, single-colored tie. There was not a zoot suit in the bunch. Why was that? It was that way because that's what central casting decreed. All these civil rights workers were funneled through a place called the Highlander Folk School in Mount Eagle, Tennessee. It was like the Paris Island of the civil rights movement. And they taught them how to manipulate public opinion through nonviolent protest. They didn't show you on the news reels that you saw the protesters spitting on the police, throwing cups of urine on them, throwing dog feces on them, cursing them and stuff like this. The cameras, because of this implicit agreement with the news media, only started to roll when they provoked a reaction from the police so they could have these shots heard around the world, these basically movie shots or television shots that would show the police as aggressors when actually they were reacting to extreme provocation most of the time. See, that's just a little part of the deception that the left engages in. And now the left has become so confident in their success that they, lift their skirt and let us see that they start using words like white genocide, for example. You know, that is the big, deep, dark secret. That's what the final solution is. That's what they have in mind for us. Through liberal change and through the demographic change that they're trying to affect through uncontrolled immigration from the third world. You don't see uncontrolled immigration from Europe to America, but you do see uncontrolled immigration from third world locales. They always get the nearest group of third worlders. In Europe, it's Muslims from the Maghreb and from the Near East. In America, it's Hispanics, but they intend to change the character so that there is no longer such a thing as a white nation in the world. That's how they will reach the globalist goal of equalizing incomes throughout the world by making us all equally poor.
I would 100% agree with you. And that school in Tennessee, Rosa Parks went there through that school, and FBI documents, they knew what it was. And one unique thing is through white ethnic European society, our numbers are not important to us. We will pull victories out against forces throughout history, constant stories where we should have lost. We should have lost, but we pull these victories out of nowhere. So with us, it's not about numbers. It's about quality of the individuals fighting, and they're knowing that they have a cause to fight for, and they're backed up by God, and they will win, and they achieve amazing things. And right now, given their actions, the things these people are doing, the erratic behavior that they're doing, considering how well put together and uniformed and controlled they were, now shows they're divided. And inevitably, the closer our enemy gets to white genocide, the more dangerous and likely that we will destroy everything that they have created to achieve this become.
And it's just the truth. Our big weapon to use against them is the truth. As they say, give light and the people will find their own way. That's what we're about, and I'm sure that's what you're about too, Jay.
Definitely, and I just encourage you guys, keep hard charging forward because it gives everybody morale. And when they say divide and conquer, don't divide between our own race. No fights between Irish and English and any of that. We don't have time for it. We fight together. and we'll achieve victory. And we don't need everybody. I mean the people that, the even people they call lemmings, it's kind of like they're eating turd sandwiches. And we have ham sandwiches, and all we have to do is give them one, and they'll be thanking God that they got one. And they won't want to listen. They won't want to eat their turd sandwiches that feed them to us. Forgive that very crude description of...
Well, as the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And those that have the truth are as brave as lions.
I like that, too. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, Jay, thank you for the call tonight. It has been an absolutely great segment because of you. And give our best regards to our friend Jim Lancia. And, folks, check out Jay and Jim on the Cop Shootout Show at YouTube.com. How can they find that particular – is there a shortcut they could use? Oh, he's gone. All right, well, Cop Shootout, YouTube.com, Jim Lancia, Downtown White Police, buy the book on Amazon.com. He's our regular criminal justice reporter.
He wrote the book, as they say.
He sure did. An alpha cop, if there ever was one, up there in Bridgeport, Connecticut, during the height of the crack epidemic. But, hey, folks, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is on deck. He's back, and we're going to find out where he's been right after this.
Radio Network.